Familiar passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 9. I want to read verses 22 through 25, and then verses 57 through verse 62. Jesus speaking in verse 22, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day." He said to them all, this is his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it." That is, whosoever shall be concerned about his own life shall lose it. "But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away?" Verse 57, now there's several things that have happened between these two scripture readings, and we'll look at that more this evening. "And it came to pass that as they," Jesus and his disciples, the ones he had just spoken to, went in the way, "a certain man said unto him, Lord, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me or permit me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. But let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." In verse 22, Christ reveals to the apostles that he would suffer at the hands of men, that he would die, that he would rise again victoriously. Later in the chapter, in verse 44, he would declare that truth a second time. And he basically told them there in verse 44 to allow this truth to grip their hearts. Now, when Jesus declared that he would suffer at the hands of men, that he would die, that he would rise again victoriously, he was telling them that for them, an extremely difficult and trying time was about to come into their lives. He was telling them that their faith would be tried. Their faith would be challenged. But what we read here also in verse 22 is more than just a declaration of Christ's sufferings and his death and his resurrection. He was also declaring to them the compulsion of his own heart toward God the Father. He said in verse 22, "The Son of Man must." The Son of Man must. He's revealing his spirit, his attitude, his commitment toward the will of God. Within him was a desire. Within him was an obsession toward the will of God. And he's revealing this. We read in verse 51, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, to suffer at the hands of men, to die. So Jesus was determined. He was very resolute. He was single-minded. He was committed to doing the Father's will. And he's giving them an example in himself. So what Jesus said to them in verse 22 sets the stage for everything here. But it sets the stage for today's message for what we read in verses 23 and 24, which is a call to total commitment to Him. Total commitment to Him. And this is in the background of difficult days are coming. Now, following this call, we read of some events that took place marked by the phrase, "and it came to pass." We see that in verse 28, verse 37, verse 51, and then we read it again in our text in verse 57, "and it came to pass." And as Jesus and the apostles were headed to Jerusalem, we are told of three individuals that they encountered along the way, and what happened between Jesus and these three further illustrate the call, "follow me." And it also illustrates the degree of commitment that Jesus is speaking of. So what we read in our text verses is the call of Christ to total commitment to Him. Commitment to the Lord is becoming an increasingly lost concept. In fact, it's very difficult to even speak on the subject of commitment because people's idea of commitment is not even what commitment is. But it's becoming an increasingly lost concept in our me-first culture. And that culture has gripped all of us, has affected all of us to some degree. We are in a culture where the vast majority worship at the altars of false gods. And they have been taken captive by that which is satanic. And they are spellbound by the world. So talking to them about total commitment, they don't understand that concept at all. Many of our so-called, much of our so-called commitment is like that of the young man who wrote the poem to his girlfriend, and we've read this in the past that I think it's very fitting, describes a lot of people. "I would climb the highest mountain, swim the deepest ocean too. I would crawl the hottest desert. I'd do anything for you. I would leap the tallest building. I'd bear any trial or pain. There is no limit to my love. And I'll be over Friday night if it doesn't rain." How true. How true. And though that is somewhat humorous, it is true. I would if. And that poem is a very painfully and shamefully accurate portrayal of the so-called commitment of many of God's people. And the sad truth is, all of us to some degree fall into that poem. It's easy to say, I will. But then the slightest inconvenience, and we don't. Oh, how we need to move beyond a shallow commitment to the Lord. I want to speak this morning on a no matter what commitment. And we want to center the main thought of the message around those words, "follow me." And that is a call that needs to grip our hearts. Follow me. First of all, consider the object of the call. Christ says, "follow me." Put the emphasis on Christ, me. The word "follow," of course, is the act that we are called to perform. And the word me is the object of the act. Christ says, follow me. He is the center. He is the main and chief aspect of the act that we are called to do. Follow me. Me, Christ says. It is a call to attention to himself. It is a call to himself. We must not miss this. Christ is the object of the call. He is the objective of the call. He is the inspiration to the call. Follow me. Me. We need to hear that from Christ. For the saved by grace, we need no further reason. We need no further inspiration than Jesus Christ. Follow me. He is God. He's infinite. He's eternal. He's immutable. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's holy. He's spotless. He's pure. He's absolutely impeccable. Without any sin. Without any fault. Without any defect. There are no blemishes. He is without any weakness. He is God. And he says, follow me. That's the object, me. He is the creator and sustainer of all. He fills all, and he is all. He's the God of heaven and earth, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Lord of glory, the heir of all things, the all-sufficient one. And he says, follow me. He is God's provision for sinners. He is God's cure. He is God's solution to man's greatest need and man's greatest problem. He says, follow me. For me, Jesus Christ left the majesty, the splendor, the adorations, the praises of heaven to come to this sin-cursed earth in a human body that was frail, that was weak, that was dependent, that had limitations. Never has anyone stooped so low as Jesus Christ coming to this earth. And he did so for me. For me. For me. He lived a perfect life of righteousness, perfectly obeying both inwardly and outwardly the law of God, pleasing God in all things, putting his perfect righteousness to my account. And it's this one who says, follow me. Follow me. The one who left heaven for you. Follow me. For me, he went to the cross and he bore the punishment. And he bore the sufferings and the torture and the misery and the distress and the sorrow and the condemnation.
and the curse and the death that was due to me. And he says, follow me. Follow me. He paid my sin debt in full. And he says, follow me. For me, he went to the grave. And he would come forth out of that grave victorious as the conqueror over Satan and sin and death and the grave. For me. For me, he took his place at the right hand of God. And one glorious day, he came and rescued my hell-deserving soul from the clutches of sin, from the clutches of Satan. And today, all because of him, my sins have been taken off of me, carried out of sight, not placed to my account, blotted out, put away, removed. And all he says is, follow me. Follow me. Because of him, I have been washed. I am justified in his sight. Pardoned. Reconciled to God. Accepted by God in the person of Jesus Christ. And I am complete in Jesus Christ. And he says, follow me. Follow me. Through him we have obtained an inheritance. Because of him we have a glorious future with him. He is our Savior. He is our Shepherd. He is our unfailing friend. He is our strength. He is our song. He is the chiefest among 10,000. And in him is a fullness that cannot be exhausted, that cannot be diminished. And he says, follow me. He's still the way, the only way to God. He is still the way and the only way from sin. And he's still the way through whatever stands in our way. He's greater than any need. He's greater than any impossibility. He's greater than any condition. Oh, may we not forget that he is the object of this following. He is the reason. You need no other reason to follow him, to be totally committed to him than himself. He is our inspiration. Follow me. Follow me. It is a call, as we will see, to total commitment. The Lord is not interested, as we will see, in shallow commitment. He calls for total commitment. The stage for this, again, was he had told them of his sufferings, his death, which simply meant for them, difficult times were coming. And what are we to do in difficult times? Be totally committed to the Lord. Totally committed to God. So let's look at this call. Follow me. We need to hear the call as coming from him. You have to hear it as coming from him. That's the power of the call. Who it comes from. Again, it is a call to himself. When he says, follow me, what he's saying is, come near. Come near. Come closer. But notice when he says, follow me, he does not specify any time. He does not specify any place. Nor does he mention any circumstances. Nor does he mention any situations of life. It is a call regardless of time, regardless of place, regardless of circumstances and situations. It is a time that it is a call that includes all time, all places, all circumstances, and all situations. Now, from verse 18, we see that he is speaking to his disciples. So consider that. He is speaking to those who were the closest to him. He is speaking to those who had openly professed Jesus Christ. He is speaking to those who were living for him. He is speaking to those who were actively engaged in working for him. So the call, follow me, relates to something beyond all of that. It relates to something beyond serving him. It's a call that goes forth from Christ to his own. Those two words, follow me, are a summation of the Christian life. When Jesus says, follow me, he is speaking of a way of life that goes beyond formality, that goes beyond theory, that goes beyond opinion. He's not speaking of something that is sporadic or convenient, but he's speaking of a thorough way of life, an extreme way of life, a radical way of life. A way of life that is in direct opposition to a secular mindset. A way of life that is in direct opposition to human reasoning. The word follow speaks of a pursuit. Follow me. It is a pursuit of Jesus Christ. It is a call to move in the direction of Christ. You can't follow somebody unless you're going in the same direction. So when he says, follow me, it is a call to move in the direction of Jesus Christ. It is a steady, humble walk that follows his footsteps and his path. And we need to hear Jesus say, follow me. It is a call that our life be all about him. That our life be all for him. And again, he's the object, he's the reason, he's the inspiration. Follow me. This is something more than him having a place in our life. This is him being our life. Well, Brother Dan, I don't know what you expect. It's not about what I expect. It's about what the Lord expects. Follow me. I give Sunday, I give Wednesday. There's five other days. The Lord's not interested in being a part of your life or my life. Follow me. It's really a call to live for him. That's what Paul declared in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. It is a call that our lives be thoroughly connected to Jesus Christ. That we live in relation and association with Christ. It is a life correspondent and parallel to Jesus Christ. It is living life separated unto Him. It is living life with Him being the preeminence. With Him being the priority. With Him being the emphasis of our life. Oh, we need to hear Him say, follow me. It is living life with Him being the dominating factor. With Him being the center of all that we do, of all that we think. It is Him living life with Him being our purpose, our cause, our goal, our passion. It is living life obsessed with Jesus Christ. It's living life fanatical for Jesus Christ. Again, it's living with Him as our motive, with Him as our reason for conducting our lives. It's Him being the incentive for our being and doing. There's a life fully surrendered to Him. Fully surrendered. There's a life serving Him with our being. Not just with our acts, but with our being. It is a life obeying Him, leaning upon Him, depending upon Him. It's living life with Him as our all. It's living life identified with Him, cleaving to Him, and experiencing Him. It is Jesus Christ being a force in all areas, in all aspects, in all facets of our life. It means that our lives are shaped, molded by Jesus Christ. Hear Him as He says, follow me. Follow me. It is living with Christ's throne and power established in our hearts, living in the light of His ownership, living in the life of His authority, living in submission to His person, to His laws, living dedicated and devoted to Him wholeheartedly and continually for His honor and His glory. It is Jesus, the one who left heaven for you, the one who paid your sin debt, the one who sets you free. It is Jesus that says, follow me. Follow me. Well, you've got to understand, we've got a family reunion this week. You've got to understand, Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. It's a way of life that is in direct opposition to the thinking, to the perceptions, to the priorities, to the values, to the concerns, and to the loyalties and the pursuits and lifestyle of this world and to our flesh. And yes, it is in direct opposition to even so-called Christianity. Yet it is the life that every son and daughter of God is called to live. You're saved. It doesn't matter. Your conditions, your situations, your circumstances. Follow me. Follow me is the call. And it needs to grip our hearts as it never has before. Follow me. This life that He's calling us to live is thorough. It's thorough. Comprehends all things. It's exhaustive. It's extensive. Covers everything in our life. And it's deep-seated. It is a way of life that penetrates and possesses our being. And it is a life that involves commitment. Commitment. And this is seen, the commitment is seen, and it is illustrated in the event that transpired as Jesus and the apostles are on their way to Jerusalem in verses 57 through verse 62. Jesus says, "Follow me." Me. Me, me. Follow me. This is not a call to a commitment to religion. It is a call to a commitment to a person. Jesus Christ. Me. Me. It is not a call to a commitment to an idea or to a philosophy. It is a call to commit to the one who saved our soul, Jesus Christ. So what is commitment? Well, it's the state of being committed. But what does that mean? Well, in this case, commitment to Christ is to be bound to Him. Well, you got to understand, I got to have my freedom. The greatest freedom there is in Jesus Christ. It means that we are bound to Christ. Devoted. And again, it's almost like you have to stop and give a definition of every word, because you say devoted and people have some strange ideas about devotion. But we don't have that time. It is to be dedicated. Loyal. Faithful. Could almost preach another message right now. Faithful. The definition of faithful today has nothing to do with faithful. Wholehearted. Passionate. Sworn. We're sworn to Christ. Pledged to Him. Many will say, "I pledge my life to Christ." Most don't even know what that means. Your life. That's not just certain areas. That's everything. Our commitment to Him is to supersede all else. He is demanding our all. And this is illustrated by Jesus' response to three individuals who volunteered, two of them did, to follow Christ. So as Jesus and the apostles are walking along, verse 57, there comes this individual. And he says, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. He seems very willing to follow Christ. But from Christ's response, you see that Christ knew that he had not really considered what that involved. And he did not consider what it could involve. Jesus responds in verse 58. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have their nest. What's he talking about? He's talking about family. He's talking about home. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. The individual was merely thinking geographical. I will follow thee whithersoever. His focus was upon where. And Jesus redirects his focus to what it may cost. What it may cost. Jesus informs him that following him may mean that you are not as well off as the animals. The foxes have holes, the birds have nests. The Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. Jesus is teaching us that we must not merely consider certain aspects, such as geography in this case. We must not be limited in our commitment to Him. Jesus and the apostles are walking along, verse 59, and Jesus calls an individual. And He said unto another, follow Me. This individual also appears willing to follow Christ. But it was not his number one priority. He says, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. Permit me first to go and bury my father. You see, this man had other commitments, and we do have other commitments. Life is filled with commitments. But you can only have one number one commitment. And that's what Jesus is saying. But this man had a responsibility to meet. And in human thinking, it's very reasonable. The man's request for delay seems very reasonable to almost all of us. Most would expect Jesus to say to this man, I understand. You finish up with your father's funeral, and then you catch up with us. We understand that this is a very difficult and trying time for you, so you just do what you have to do. And when the time permits, you come and join us. But that's not what Jesus said. That's not what he said. What Jesus said here is really shocking to most people and unreasonable to most people and goes against what everybody expects. He says in verse 60, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. What's Jesus talking about? He's talking about a no matter what commitment. As long as we're willing to let other things get in the way, there will be plenty of things to get in the way. There will be plenty of things to take priority. So they're walking along. There appears yet another individual, verse 61. This man had obviously heard the call, follow me. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. And he adds, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. All three of these individuals and all three of Jesus' responses has something to do with home and family. This man had a desire toward his family that took priority over Christ. And Christ responds in verse 62, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Let go of all, because if you don't, you're going to look back. And you're going to go back. You know, that's like driving a car just using your rearview mirror. Disaster is going to happen. You're going to get hurt. Someone else is going to get hurt. So the truth is that most of Christianity, I dare say most sitting here, sees these statements of these individuals as perfectly reasonable and as legit. But Jesus, dealing with these individuals, reveals the kind of commitment that He requires. A no matter what commitment. He's not saying that it's wrong to have a house. He's not saying that it's wrong to have a commitment to your family. He's not saying that it is wrong to feel affection and attachment to your family. Ultimately, Jesus is talking about, He's not talking about whether or not we ought to own a home, whether or not we ought to take care of a loved one's funeral arrangements. That's not what He's talking about. Or whether or not we should go back and say goodbye. That's not the subject. Jesus is talking about right priorities. He is saying these things do not take priority. There are conflicting commitments. But all the other commitments do not take authority or priority over follow me. It's a matter of priority. We preached along these, from these verses several years ago. Jesus first, not next. Oh, that we could grasp that truth. Jesus is never to be next. He's always to be first. And if we have a problem with that, we need to think of who it is that's speaking to us, follow me. It's Jesus Christ. So, Jesus is saying, if you're going to live for me, this is what I expect. I must be first. Well, what if? Jesus says, let me tell you again. I must be first. Well, what if? Let me tell you again, I must be first. We're filled with what ifs. What ifs? But Jesus says, here's what I expect. I'm first. I want a no matter what commitment. Now, looking at these responses to these individuals, we see that commitment costs. It's going to cost. People want commitment today that doesn't cost them anything. There is no such thing. Commitment costs. And let me say, if you allow another commitment to take priority over Christ, that's going to cost you dearly. More than you and I realize. We also learn here that there are conflicting commitments. Burying his father, saying goodbye to family. But the message and the lesson is, I must take priority. Not saying it's wrong to bury a family member, but if commitments conflict, I must take priority. I'm number one. What Jesus is saying is equivalent to Matthew 22:37. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And if anyone can read that verse and say, I do that, you don't know what it means. None of us do it. None of us do it. We ought to strive for it. We ought to strive for it. What it means is every fiber of our being, every facet of our lives is to be committed to Jesus Christ. So our text teaches that there are degrees of commitment. The fact is, we cannot make total commitment to everything. It is not possible. You cannot do that. And we have other commitments. People have commitments to jobs. People have commitments to family. We have all kinds of commitments. Nothing wrong with commitments. But at the very moment any commitment takes priority over our commitment to Christ, it is now wrong. He is always to be first. Always to be number one. Jesus Christ, our shepherd, our Savior, our friend, says, follow me. So the question is, what is our degree of commitment to Jesus Christ? Do we have a no matter what commitment? Really, the question needs to be, are we willing to be more committed to the one who saved our soul, to the one who paid our sin debt? Are we willing? Most have already determined in their hearts and minds just how committed they will be, just how far they'll go. They've already made plans. We've preached before and plan to serve God. People plan today not to serve God. They may not do so intentionally, but they do. We must be willing to ask Him, Lord, I want to be more committed to You. Lord, make me more committed to You. Cause me to be more committed to You. Are we willing? Are we willing to commit all to Him? And it's easy, just like these three individuals, I'll follow thee. It's easy for any one of us to say, oh, I'll do that. We need to pray that God would cause us
be more committed. There shouldn't even be a conflict. If we love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, and all our mind, there's not even conflict. It's a no-brainer. Christ is first. Christ is first. But let's face it. For most, it's not a no-brainer. It's not. Total commitment. No matter what. Commitment. Think of who it is that says, follow me. Follow me. We all love our family. But my family didn't save my soul. We're to have commitments to our family. But not at the expense of commitment to the one who saved our soul. Been talking to the saved. To the unsaved, this whole idea of commitment to Christ means nothing. And really, it's not what you even need to be concerned about. What you need to be concerned about is your soul. Jesus Christ came to save sinners such as yourself. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He will save. He's able. He's willing. You need Him today. We cannot stress enough the urgency of your need of Jesus Christ if you're here and lost. Oh, that He would come down today. Come right where you are. That's what He does. And save your hell-deserving soul. And when He does, we can all go back to that day. The day the Lord saved our soul. We were willing at that moment to do anything. Whatever He said. Didn't even have to think about it. We were willing. We need to get back to that commitment. We need to get back to total commitment to Christ. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.